They say that time heals all wounds. Does it? I remember some of us read a book some time ago. All I remember is the title. Broken Children, Grown Up Pain. Broken Children, Grown Up Pain. You know, in this world, the Bible tells us this is a very dysfunctional place, and we're all subjected at times to it. I'm looking at Ecclesiastes 2 and 22, and 23, actually. Ecclesiastes 2 and 22, it says, "For what has man for all his labor? For the striving of his heart, for which he's toiled under the sun, for all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome, even in the night. His heart takes no rest. This also is vanity." And in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes and 15, "As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return. So go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor which he may carry away in his hand." I like to think of life as just one big kick in the pants. I think of Jacob said after he found out Joseph was alive and he made his way to Egypt. Pharaoh said, "How old are you anyway?" He said, "I'm 130 years old. My days have been few and full of evil." It's kind of a bleak picture of what life on earth is all about. Everyone growing up in this world then is going to be subject to these things and the darkness in this world. And we experience it starting as children. Good thing we're made out of rubber when we're little. We don't fully comprehend some of the hardship we're really suffering or even some of the abuses. It didn't occur to me when I was growing up. I don't know about my brother back there. You know, when the old man would beat me, I just figured I had it coming because he was my dad. And then when I got older, I thought the guy's a jerk. It finally dawned on me, hey, this guy ain't right. So you grow up in this life suffering so many things, which God allows. You know, I thought about this one time, made this point. You know, when God's people went into captivity and they had to suffer so much hardship in captivity, guess who went with them? The kids. The kids. Yeah, God allowed that. Will that affect them? I think a lot of people realize the aftershocks of their childhood start to show up when they get older. Seems quite normal, quite natural. Then it begins. The healing, the potential for that. God is going to straighten this out for everyone who wants to know. You know, we just was in Kosovo. I just mentioned, we were there three weeks ago. And guess what we see? You know, I've been going there for a long time, you know, over 20 years. And the after effects of that war still affect the people. It still do. Even after 20 years, one of the reasons why I bring it up, you know, the same with the Ukrainians. They're in it now. But I can tell by looking at these people, like in Kosovo, they haven't overcome what happened to them. Now, what happens with people that suffer trauma and go through stuff, and you don't have to be in a war. I mean, it happens here, it happens all the time. There is a trauma that they're going to face. And a lot of times you have these phases. It's like the phases of grieving, shock, disbelief, fear, anger then might set in, and then pretty soon a depression, and finally an acceptance. But does it ever give way to joy? Do they really get better over time? Are they filled with joy or peace? Do they abound in hope after they've been through all that, just because of time? That's where it ultimately just goes, just progresses that way. Well, like I said, just come back from Kosovo. I've been going there about 24 years. No. No, it doesn't. Nor does it here. Nor does it here in your own personal life. If you had a hard time growing up, if you suffered things that were out of your control maybe, or maybe later you started suffering or reaping the fruits of your own bad choices and you suffer, it doesn't matter how it happened. Does it just eventually over time give way to joy and peace and filled with hope and having a great life all by itself? By staying here in a world we already looked at in Ecclesiastes as broken. In 1 John 5 it says the wicked one has sway over all the earth. This world, he said, this is mine. It's been given to me, and told Jesus, the devil told him on top of that mountain, if you fall down and worship before me, I'll give it to you. He said, been delivered to me. So the whole earth is under the sway of the wicked one. And boy, it don't take much to see it. Darkness is easy. The darkness of this world is easy to see. But the light, which is far greater, has to be unpackaged. So no, time doesn't heal our wounds. We finally may get around to where we accept it, we deal with it, but it isn't automatically replaced with any kind of joy or peace. We just move on. And that's it? Then like we could say, like Jacob said, I'm 130 years old. My days have been few and full of evil. Life is one big kick in the pants. Is there quality of life associated with that? And you know, even the people that appear to be look like they're doing really good, they got a lot of money, maybe they got some fame and fortune, maybe they got them Hollywood hard bodies, man. You think, man, I wish I was like that. No, you don't. Because one day, come on, Cher, or what was her name? The beauty queen there, National Velvet, what was her name? Elizabeth Taylor. Man, she was still trying to look good. I think she was 107. Give it up, Cher. Ain't gonna work. You ain't gonna escape. So what about it? And this is a universal truth. It is the way of this earth. You know, so just recently they've been talking like, man, there's a possibility that there'll be a ceasefire in Ukraine. Well, you know, we hope that's true. A cessation of that war. It's been bad. Man, millions have been killed. I mean, it's just a tragic, the devastation, destruction. So let's just say that the leaders of Putin's or Trump's and Zelensky, they can get together and they sign a peace deal. Hallelujah. Now it's all done, right? Everybody can go home. You know, some months ago we was in Ukraine, Poland, at the refugee camp. And that's all they wanted. When's this war going to end? When's this war going to end? They want to go home to what? Mariupol? It's only flatter than a pancake. Everything's all blown to bits. They want to go home. Then it'll be okay, right? Or they can get home, get back to normal. Everything will be fine. You know, get things going. Really? Is that how that realistically is going to work? No. Guess what's going to actually happen? The long road is going to begin. They're not going to be unaffected by what happened. This two older couple, husband and wife, in their 70s maybe, retired school teachers. The woman, it was in one of my newsletters, was showing me pictures in Krakow in Poland. This is our house. It's destroyed. And they looked at me and she started to cry. We don't think we're ever going to be able to go home. And they built that house with their hands. They have nothing. There's nothing there. At the end of her life, I mean, in their 70s. So, guess not much time for any joy and peace and believing of it be full of hope for her and him. That's just it, right? Just too bad for them? Is that the way it is? Oh, there'll be joy and peace, or joy if somebody they signed that peace treaty. But that is only going to be the beginning of sorrows. That doesn't solve a thing. You know, when I was walking into Perkins Restaurant, it was in 2010 in August in Bozeman, Montana, because his family came. I saw in the news in Perkins Restaurant, hallelujah, they're alive. 17, or on the, what was it? It took 17 days. They were trying to figure out those miners in Chile, 33 of them were even alive. The government gave up on them right after the first few days. But the families kept saying, please keep looking, keep looking. You know, begging the government. So they looked and looked. It took 17 days. They drilled that little hole. The drill bit went down. When it came up, it had a note attached to it. We're all here. And then that went around the world. I didn't know there was miners missing in Chile. You know, that didn't hit the news because missing miners ain't news. But missing miners below ground that they find that they're alive. Hallelujah, they're alive. And there was great joy. Short-lived. Those poor guys were a half a mile under solid granite. And nothing on this earth, no way, no how, did anybody have any way of getting them out of there. Impossible. So reality set in and the joy turned to a great sadness. What are we going to do now? They had a little dinky 4-inch hole they drilled down there. You're going to stuff peanut butter sandwiches down there forever? Try to feed them and keep them alive? Do you realize it said down in that hole it was over 90 degrees in heat? They had some equipment down there that they were able to nurse the battery along, and the supervisor down there had it turned on so many hours in the day and then shut the battery off at night, trying to create a day-night atmosphere for the miners so they didn't go insane and just pitch black in 90-degree heat. They had no way to get them out. Until the whole world got involved. There was a U.S. drill team that was doing wells in Afghanistan. They were the best of the best. They got that drill team, a steel mill or some place in Pittsburgh, I believe, said, we can make a drill bit that big. The drill bit had to be big enough for a man's shoulders. NASA, if I recall, designed the cage, this metal cage, and the Chilean Navy made it. The whole world was pitching in, trying to figure out how to do this. The long story short, they did drill down. They did hit that compartment the guys were in. And they brought them up. I said, on this one day, and watch it. 33 of them, one after the other, and the cheers were going up for every single one of them. That's a great picture of the gospel. The impossible happened with Jesus Christ. God himself set aside his privileges, came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh, born of a woman in the humble beginnings, in a lambing cave of all things in Bethlehem. And he can, a lamb, we sing the song, is it possible that a lamb could save the souls of men? That's the only way it was going to be done. And I'll tell you what, that gutsy medic from the Chilean Navy, that medic that got in that cage, it was totally untested, and he was going to be the first one. He volunteered to go down in that hole, and it took quite a while to go a half a mile going with that cage being lowered in that thing, and I mean his just solid rock. They said if that thing gets stuck in there, in that tube of granite, he'll be in there forever. We got no way to get him out of there. And that guy volunteered. If Jesus were to come down here, born of a woman, and tempted in all points, yet without sin, if he'd have yielded to that sin, he'd have been dead. You got to think about that one. He was no robot. He was free will. The danger against Jesus, according to Scripture, was real. The risk he took, and he demonstrated his love. God so demonstrated his love, and while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus down here to save us while we were yet sinners. After all the things that these people went through and these struggles here on earth, we can get past maybe the initial trauma, then like a PTSD, they call it today, can set in, a post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's why I say you won't just naturally become happy again. You won't be full of joy again just because the hostility or whatever happened to you stopped. You're broken. You're ruined. You can cope. You can endure. You go through the motions, but you'll never be made whole because there'll be an emptiness if you don't know God, the great physician, the healer, the healer. Only the great physician can heal. Remember the prophecy out of Isaiah. Well, actually, I'll give you it in Matthew 13. It's the same one, but for time's sake, we'll just go straight to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, he quotes the prophecy of Isaiah from chapter 6. I'm going to just get about halfway through this. Speaking of, go to this people and tell them, hearing you will hear and not understand, seeing you'll see and not perceive. Verse 15 says, for the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ear, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Not everybody's going to get this. For some, in 1 Corinthians 1, it says the preaching of the cross is simply foolishness to those who are perishing. They don't want to hear it. You know, we're made for more than just going through here and being like an animal, walking around just eating all the time and sleeping and having fun. And we know it. Human beings know it. And when you see people in their darkest time where they really need it more than anything, you know, people need hope in this world. Again, I sometimes use examples of situations we've seen in various places, but that is a human thing. You don't have to be in some war zone. You don't have to be in an earthquake. You don't have to be in a massive fire or all the other catastrophes that could happen. You don't have to go through all that to know this. Everyone. I'll tell you what, if you don't go over there or been involved with something out here that happened, trust me, don't worry about it, because it will come to you. And it doesn't have to come in the form of violence. Because see that what goes on inside of us, we can become disconnected, wandering in our own minds, simply feeling empty, void, purposeless, wondering what's it all about anyway, feeling unfulfilled, afraid, like something's going to happen, man. I feel like something's going to happen. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to be attacked. You don't have to suffer a physical trauma. And you could be abused. Not all abuse is physical. Neglect. You could just grow up with a low self-esteem. You could just feel like nobody likes you. Is it true? It might not be. Yet you feel that way. What, that's a burden to bear. What are they supposed to do? See, we're very complicated. We're complex. Jesus said some people, they're not going to hear this. Some will, he says. And they need to see with their eyes, hear with their ears. They need to understand with their hearts in turn, and I will heal them. You will be made whole. It won't happen all by itself with just whatever you're going through just happens to stop. Whether it's some sort of peace treaty or if you've been in a bad situation, finally got out of it, there, great. Will you be okay now? Will you be fulfilled? Will you be happy? Full of joy? You might for a minute. It's like getting out of a burning building. You might be glad you got out of one of them. I experienced that. Trust me, you'd be happy if you get out of a burning building when you don't know how to get out. But then later you think about how close that was. And you think, whoa. There is a post-traumatic stress. I mean, in other words, it's like the aftershocks after something is over. Can be the long road for healing. I just saw the other day, looked it up, 22 U.S. veterans, American military veterans, commit suicide a day. 22. You ever wonder about that? How can these guys go off to war, go through a tremendous hardship, a lot of danger, they endure, they get through it, but they make it home. And even especially those what they call with the unseen wounds. You know, I mentioned Kosovo. We got this center of women that we meet that's called the Center of Women's Rights or something. I have to think about it for a minute. I've told you before, it's about the abused women. Most of the public don't know that's who they are. And the title of the article for them is called Healing the Unseen Wounds. Those women look normal, I mean, in many ways. And what they went through, you don't even want to know. And guess what? My personal opinion, I mentioned it before, the leader of the group who suffered it too, but she's focused on trying to help them as a way to get over what happened, to do something constructive and help them do the same. I was told, oh, she's a strong woman. Wait till you meet her. She's a strong woman. And she is a strong woman. But my observation, listening to her tell her story and all that, her eyes were sad and really no light in them. And that was over 20 years ago. And the reason why, I'm sure, according to the Bible, she's reliving that. She can't get out of the cycle because unless you get new information coming in and not from a self-help book or some other quackery, you need to go back to the Creator. He is the one that made you. He knows about your dysfunction. I'm thinking of Luke 4 when Jesus walks into the old hometown synagogue and they hand him a copy of the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He picks it up, finds the place it's written, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed and preached the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And that's not some guy that got a Dear John letter. That's a guy. This is about this dysfunction I've been talking about. I studied it out to see what's a brokenhearted. It's all the dysfunction that we grow up with, not knowing the difference, because you do not know God intuitively. You know his existence by the things that are made, but you cannot know God himself except by revelation. And all that revelation is contained right here. But wonder if you've never read this book. Wonder if you have no idea what's in this book. Well, then you still can't know him. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The time is now, Jesus said. Today, this scripture, he said, is fulfilled in your hearing 2,000 years ago. Still in effect, what I just read right there, as if it was written before I brought it down here this morning. It's in effect now. This is what the gospel's all about. All these people here, that's us just not physically poor people, ain't got no money. This ain't guy, ain't somebody got a Dear John or somebody in jail proclaiming liberty to captives. And recovering the sight to the blind, this ain't people that's blind, physically blind. If you don't know God, you are blind. Only people that know God can see and can hear what needs to be seen and heard. Because you come to him and he heals you of all that dysfunction. And yes, you can have joy and peace. You guys know this is my favorite verse, Romans 15 and 13. The Apostle Paul said, may the God of hope now fill you with all joy, not some joy, all joy and peace, all peace, not some peace, all peace, in believing this stuff. That's why you got to have it, in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, divine. That ain't something you manufacture. That joy, you don't manufacture it. You can't. That peace you want, the peace everyone wants so bad, just to have some peace and hope, abounding in hope, not just some hope, abounding in it, that doesn't come from you. It says it comes from God. So you can't just, there are people out here that want to act like everything's fine. It's not fine. I know that shocked a lot of people when, what's his name? Robin Williams hung himself. People thought, man, he's the funniest guy in the whole world. What the heck's he doing that for? Because he always act like everything was funny and fine. That was just a defense. That was just a wall he put up so you didn't know what he was really going through. And when he finally couldn't take it anymore, he just took care of it. And the only way he knew how. And that is unnecessary and sad. Doesn't have to be that way. A lot of them women that we've been telling you about in those groups, that's what we were told, that early on, many of them, that's how they solved the problem of not reliving those attacks over and over and over in their mind. They just took care of it to escape. That is not necessary anymore. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus is upon me. He sent me. He sent me, and he said, now I'm sending you. Matthew 9, starting in verse 35. Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the good news. This is the good news, the whole counsel of God, the kingdom of God, and healing every sickness and every disease, not some sickness, not some disease, every among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. They were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. He said to the disciples, you see this mess? Do you see this thing? This harvest? This catastrophe? It's plentiful, isn't it? As far as you can see. Hopelessness. Destruction. Emptiness. Wandering. Sickness. Darkness. Therefore, he said, this harvest is now plentiful. I got it all ready for you. But the laborers are few, so pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into this harvest. So go ye into all the world. Take this good news. But they need the whole counsel of God. This is not some accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior kind of thing. This is about you want to follow him. Give up this life. It's broken. You can't fix it. Let it go. He knows what he's doing. Follow him. He said, follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Give up that life of yours. Get your fingers off it. Get Jesus, take the wheel. Right? If you're telling people God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Move. He's a pilot. In fact, don't even take co-pilot. Get yourself back there and start serving drinks and coffee and snacks. Acts chapter 26 says, it was the apostle, well, he was Saul of Tarsus, became the apostle Paul. Acts 26. Paul tells the story himself. You know, he said, I was blinded on the road to Damascus. Man, there's this here blinding light, he says, in Acts 26. And he heard a voice talking to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, the voice said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Rise, stand on your feet. Got a mission for you. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I'm going to send you to the nations. I'm going to send you to Kosovo. I'm going to send you to Africa. I'm going to send you to America. I'm going to send you to China. That don't say that. Yes, it does. This gospel is to go into all the world. Those are the nations, and yes, that's where it's supposed to go. And here's what I want you to do. This is your mission, verse 18. I want you to open their eyes. Not these eyes, but these eyes, the eyes of the heart. I want you to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness that just has sway over this entire world. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and receive an inheritance among all those, which is eternal life, an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, set apart by faith in me. That's the mission. Take it into all the world. This is what they need. This is the healing that they can have if they want it. Some people think it's foolishness. Just shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. Keep moving. You know, a lot of people are dysfunctional. They're not so much against it. They just don't know nothing. What they need to see first off is to see the gospel. And they need to see it in us. They need to see Christ in us. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Christ is to be seen in our mortal bodies. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They need to see it first. They need to see the gospel in action, Jackson. The Apostle Peter says, you know what you've come to? You know what you are? In 1 Peter 2 and 9, you're a chosen generation then. You're a chosen generation. You are actually a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. Man, them miners were down there, pitch black and 90 degrees down there. I can't even imagine what they thought as that little cage they were in. And boy, they didn't have nothing on but just about their underwear. I mean, they didn't have no bass boat. They didn't have no 54-inch color TV sets or nothing with them, man. They left all that behind. You got yourself in that little cage. That's what that medic went down there to do, to make sure he could get them in there. And up they came through that, all that granite, to light up above. What a rescue mission. All these people coming out of the pain that they're in, their emptiness, their darkness, they need that light. Because that's where they're at. They are in an impossible situation. They will never get themselves out by themselves. They can't. The Bible says you can't save yourself. You can't do it. It's absolutely impossible. You have to come to the healer. You have to come to God and let him open your eyes and your ears, calling us out of that darkness and into the light. Only the God of hope can fill us with all joy and all peace in believing. That's why this is so important. That's why we have to preach it. That's why we have to teach it. That's why he said, go in the world, make disciples. Disciples, learners, they have to be taught. They have to be taught. You were taught. I was taught. They have to be taught. It's labor intensive. These people, if this war ends tomorrow, the work will just begin with those poor folks, and it will take some time. They got to grow, and you don't grow fast. Nor do they hear. In America, our neighbors, our friends, our acquaintances, our co-workers, they're in the same boat. They might as well be a half a mile under solid rock in the heat and in the blackness. If they're not in Christ, metaphorically, that's the picture of where they're actually at, until light comes into their space. Go to them. Jesus told the apostle Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, he became Apostle Paul, I'm sending you to these people, and I want you to open their eyes in order to turn them from that darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to God. Thank you for your attention.